Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Almighty God, we declare our faith in you. We ask that you guard our hearts today. Instill us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Shelter our faith and allow us to prove it to you in our lives, Lord. We lift up our hearts and ask that you will increase our faith and shield us by this faith, Lord, from the world. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning. Again. Setting my timer so that you guys get the abridged version of the sermon this morning. So we won't take up too much of your time. I won't take up too much of your time here. A few weeks back, when they had asked me to do this, I started preparing the sermon. And I figured we're close enough to Father's Day where I could prepare something about Christian fathers. That's kind of the theme I ran with. And about 5 days ago, picked it up, read through it again, and I just wasn't feeling it. So crumpled it up, threw it in the trash, started all over again. Our sermon this morning is going to be on faith, okay? Before we get started, though, I took a little snippet out of that old sermon I think you guys might like a little bit. So I'll go ahead and go through that here real quick about fathers. As a father, as a dad, as a man, you know, we kind of have our own language, right? People don't always understand what we're trying to say. I don't know why. It's just, you know, people are always saying, what? What did you mean by that? So anyway, I'm going to clear up some of those mistranslations and misconceptions about things that we say, men, straight from the men's, the source, and translator, okay? When a man says, it would take too long to explain this, what he really means is, I have no idea how it works, okay? When a man says, it's a guy thing, what he really means is that there's no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance of making it logical. So don't even try. When a man says, of course, I heard what you said, what he really means is I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said. And I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough so that you not spend the next 3 days yelling at me. When a man says, and this is probably the best one for me because I get this all the time. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we're at. What he really means is that no one will ever see us alive again. So I hear that all the time. But of course, I know where I'm at. Sure I do. So moving on, I digress. Faith. What is faith? The dictionary defines it as such. Faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Something. That's kind of strange. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is a Christian faith, not a worldly faith. This verse does not define faith in terms of the five senses, sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste. If we could perceive the object of our faith, then we wouldn't need it. It would be useless if we could see it, touch it, smell it, and taste it. It wouldn't be faith anymore. Faith is also the evidence or proof of what we cannot see, what we haven't seen yet. By faith, we know that God made the universe. Although we cannot see God and we were not present at the creation, faith is the evidence or proof that God exists. It is also the evidence that he will keep his promises, even though We have not seen some of those promises yet, but we will. In his book, 6 Hours, One Friday, Max Lucado tells the story of how he and his boat survived a hurricane. An old seaman gave Max the advice to take his boat to deep water, drop 4 anchors off each corner of the boat, and pray that the anchors held. Max survived the storm, but he says that he learned an important lesson that day, that all of us need an anchor that will hold during the storms of life, and that anchor is faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So I like that verse. I'll read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What have you put your faith in? We all put our faith in man-made things all the time. A car. You expect it to work and keep you safe. An airplane. Trying to get on an airplane, you're putting your faith in the pilot and the aircraft. Medications. We put our faith in medications. So I got a short story here I'm going to tell you real quick about putting the faith in things that man makes. When I was 17 years old, I flew off to Fort Benning, Georgia. First time I'd ever been on an airplane in my life. I went there for boot camp, infantry school, and then airborne school to follow. When I got to airborne school, they wanted us to put our faith in our training and in a man-made thing. That thing was a bundle of ripstop nylon and parachute cord. That's what I put my faith in. Well, of course, it worked. I made, over the 4-year period, I made 160 parachute jumps. But it didn't work all the time. There were several occasions where it didn't open, and I had to rely on my training to pull my reserve parachute. That worked, thank God. That's kind of putting your faith in something that's man-made and not God-made. I thank God that he kept me alive and kept me from all major injuries over that time. A lot of people didn't make it through some of those days. But we put our faith in so many things that are earthly, but yet we have trouble putting our faith in God. We just have a very difficult time putting that amount of faith into our worship and our Bible and God. So how important is it to have faith? Where do we find a faith strong enough to make it through the storms of life? Today, it's not easy being a Christian. We all know that. You just have to listen to the news and you'll understand why it's hard to be a Christian today. But we must find a way to live our faith without compromise. We should not compromise our faith. Peter helps us gain some insight into how to live an authentic, Christ-centered faith in the midst of some difficult times. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though not for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory the revelation of Jesus Christ. The question is not if we have faith. You know, everyone has faith, some sort of faith. Even the atheist has faith, that his rational reasoning has removed the possibility of God. He has faith in his intellectual ability. And someone told me one time a really good analogy about faith and what it takes to be an atheist and what they believe in. They said that an atheist actually has more faith than most Christians, because to believe in evolution takes a lot of faith. There's a lot of things. The analogy that he told me was, you know, on this side of the street, there's a paper mill. And on this side of the street is an ink plant, okay? They both explode at the same time. Everything goes in the air. They come together, falls to the ground, Encyclopedia Britannica. Okay? Is that possible? No. That's impossible. That's an impossibility. But that's what evolution is. That's what a lot of people have put their faith in. That's what they're trying to teach our children in schools, to put their faith and believe in that line of thought. Now, others have faith in their abilities, skills, connections, friends, families, and themselves. So everyone has faith. The question is, where is your faith anchored? What is it anchored in? Our faith as Christians must be anchored in the timeless nature of Christ. But I can hear the question, how do you know that a faith in Christ will hold up during the storms of life? Why should I trust Christ? Because there is no ordinary faith. It is a tested faith that we go through as a Christian. You know, countless people have placed their faith in Christ and found that that anchor holds. It really does hold. And sooner or later, the storms of life will begin to blow. And then the question becomes, will the anchor of faith hold? If our faith is set upon the things of this world, then our faith will surely perish along with us. Countless kingdoms have come and fallen. Economies have been built and destroyed. Nations have been established and vanished. All that is left of some of those kingdoms are the ruins that you can see in a museum. Only the kingdom of God has remained constant over the past 2,000 years. Our faith is to be set in heaven and not on the things of this world. That is the only way that we know our faith is imperishable. Anchor it in God. You have no doubt heard this phrase before. Now, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's a statement which indicates our sinful nature, and history is full of leaders who started off with the best intentions, but pride, ego, or other flaws got in the way. If we place our faith in a leader, it's but a matter of time before the corruptible nature of the individual is revealed. When I read that, what comes to mind for me is politicians. But Christ has no sin. And our faith is in the power of God. God has absolute power, but it is uncorrupted. There is no pride or ego in the power of Christ. In the scope of eternity, Jesus is the only person who has absolute power. But not only that, he is also the only person for whom absolute power has not corrupted, even a little bit. Our faith can only be incorruptible when it is placed in Christ. Matthew 21:21. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' it will be done." Our faith as Christians is based upon the prophecies of the Old Testament. Prophecies which said a Messiah is coming. Our faith is built upon Jesus. We believe that he is the Messiah, the embodiment of the Old Testament prophecies. We believe that he died on a cross for our sins and he rose again. And we also believe that he's coming back. If all of Christianity were to be destroyed tomorrow, could we recreate that in people's minds? We could not. Because our faith is not built upon philosophy, intellect, or creative speculations. Our faith is built upon the historical fact that Jesus, God's only Son, died on a Roman cross in Jerusalem on a hill. Our faith cannot be recreated. But thank God, it's a faith that has stood the test of time, proven itself faithful when tested. It is the only true faith which holds in the storms of life. And there will be many storms in our lives. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It is important that each professing Christian examine his or her own heart and life and make sure that they possess the true saving faith. Because Satan is a great deceiver and he will lie to you. If he can convince a person that a counterfeit faith is true faith, then he has that person in his power. Here are some questions we can ask ourselves as we examine our own faith. Was there a time when I honestly realized I was a sinner and admitted this to myself and to God? Do I truly understand the gospel that Christ died for my sins and then rose again? Did I sincerely repent of my sins, making the decision to turn from them? Have I trusted Christ and him alone for my salvation by responding to the commands he has given us? Has there been a change in my life? Do I maintain good works, or are my works occasional and weak? Faith in our lives. If we have faith, we know that God can work miracles in our lives, that he can protect us physically and heal us. He will provide for our needs, and often he'll even provide for your wants on occasion. Most importantly, by faith, he will develop his holy, righteous character in us in order that we can become members of his family. In conclusion, all of us have faith, but will your anchor of faith hold in the storms of life? That's when you're truly tested. That's when your faith comes into play. Not when everything's going well and you're doing fine. It's when things are bad, really bad. And that's when your faith is tested. Do you turn to God or do you turn to the world for help? Is your anchor of faith a true anchor? Is your faith built upon the truth of Scripture? Has your faith been tested? Do you know how valuable, revealing, and full of love a faith in Christ is? Is your faith timeless? Or will the newest fad or latest philosophy cause you to tie to a new anchor? Only a faith in Christ is true, tested, and timeless. It is not a question of if you have faith. It's not a question of if the storms of life will come. They will. It is the question, will your anchor of faith hold through those storms? The time to anchor your hope and faith in Christ is now, before the storms come. Let us bow our heads in prayer this morning. Gracious Father, we ask that you give us strength to place our entire faith in your word. May you allow us to have and develop an ever-deepening trust in you, knowing that your word is faithful and true. May we be nourished by the word of God day by day and be refreshed through your words. Give us a faith that will be pleasing to the Lord and glorify his name. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to be sacrificed for our sins and our delivery. Allow us to be strong in our faith so that we can be a witness to the world of your glory. All these things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'll leave you with this as we depart. Romans 4:20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Please go in peace and faith this morning.